morning is that when our missionary Brenda Gould walked in, she saw Bethany on the platform, and she already knows Bethany because of just family connections of Bethany's mom and her grandmother, and so there's all kinds of connections along the way. But we are glad that we are part of a family that shares connections because of God in our lives. Amen? So anyway, this morning as we get started, we are in Genesis once again, and so you'll want to turn there in just a minute. We'll read from Scripture. But the first thing I want to ask is this. How many of you ever struggle with remembering things? All right. That's not too many. Oh, double, huh? All right. What is the worst thing you've ever forgotten? That there's a test coming up? All right. That would not be good.
I forgot.
What's that?
She's talking to you.
She's talking to you. Okay. Worst thing, yes. Your anniversary. Oh, that's not a good idea. Say what? You missed a wedding. It wasn't your own, though, right? Names. Oh, yeah. How many forget names? Yeah. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. Yeah, Tanner. Your mom's phone number. Yeah, you better remember your mom's phone number for sure. Anybody else? Worst thing you've forgotten. Yeah. Oh, just a minute. I caught two of you. So what was that? Oh, no. She forgot her flute when she was going to be performing on stage. How'd you do it then? That's what you do. All right, Mallory. You forgot your own name. Ooh. Well, now, I want to turn the question around. We've all had things and sometimes people and whatever that we've forgotten, right? But have you ever been forgotten?
My mom.
Your mom forgot you? Forgot you at Kmart? Did she come back?
After the service desk called.
After the service desk called, she came back and got it. Okay. Oh, five kids. That explains a lot of things. Sometimes you forget them on purpose. No. Please do not repeat that. Okay. Anyone else been forgotten? He forgot your brother at church? How's that happen? Oh, you wish it had been. Oh, really? You know what? We should stop right now and pray for Pastor Kayla. She's having a rough morning. Anyone else been forgotten? I know that Tammy has a story about one of her brothers being forgotten at church, actually. He had fallen asleep, and they had five kids, too. And they took off, and they headed home and whatever and realized, where's Dean? And so they had to go back to the church and find him. I don't know if he had woken up by then or not, but anyway, being forgotten. For the last couple of weeks, we have been in the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. And we kind of talked about this story a little bit over the last few weeks. And I first of all, want to say thank you to Charles Kay for preaching last Sunday when we were at the retreat for the pastors on the district. And also thank you to Emily and Lexi who filled in for Pastor Kayla. And then all the ones who helped cover things with the kids for Pastor Kari. So anyway, and thank you for allowing us to go on this retreat. It's only been in the last few years they've moved it to a weekend to where we're gone on the Sunday. But I guess they kind of want to build in that, you know, there are a lot of folks in the church that make the church happen even when the pastors aren't there, and it goes well, and we're blessed. And so anyway, I want to thank the Lord and thank Charles for filling in for me. But anyway, we've talked about Joseph a little bit over these last few weeks, and you know, here's a young man who was almost idolized by his dad, who was given special gifts and had special perks that came with being the son of a favorite wife of Jacob's. And, he also then has the brothers be so jealous of him that they want to do away with him, and they sell him off. And he's sold off to a caravan that's headed to Egypt. And so he experiences that. And then while he's in Egypt, he gets hired in, or he's taken as a slave, really, of Potiphar. And last Sunday you heard the temptations that he had to endure, specifically from Potiphar's wife, and that he wanted to stay true to not only his boss, but also to God. And so he was a victor over those temptations that were brought his way. But the key verse I want us to focus in on this morning is found in Genesis 40, verse 23. And this is the verse. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Now, that's kind of jumping into the middle of the story. And so I want to share where that comes from in the life of Joseph. After the episode with Potiphar's wife and all the things related to that, Joseph is put in prison. Those accusations she made, they all took seriously, and so Joseph now finds himself in a prison. But it says in chapter 39, verse 21, that while he's in prison, that the Lord was with him. I'm so glad the Lord can be with us no matter where we are, no matter what we're in the middle of, but the Lord will be with us. But it says, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. In fact, the prison warden came to trust Joseph so much that he kind of put him in charge. And it says later in, again, Genesis 39, 23, that the warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. And so here we find Joseph now in this prison, but God is with him, and God is helping him, and he's finding favor with the prison warden to where he's even given responsibilities in that place and is trusted totally because of the kind of character that Joseph had. Well, sometime later, the cupbearer, who was mentioned in the verse we read, and a baker both had an issue. They served as the servants of the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And apparently they offended the king of Egypt to the point where he threw them into prison. And they are thrown in the same prison where Joseph is. And one night they both had dreams. The same night they both had dreams that just kind of scared them. They had no idea what it might mean, and they just realized that, something is wrong. And the next day, Joseph sees them, and he recognizes that, they're not their usual selves. And so he asks them, what's wrong with you guys? What happened? What's going on? And they began to tell him their dreams. Well, the first one to tell the dream was the cupbearer. And after hearing the particular account that the cupbearer tells in his dream, Joseph is able to help the cupbearer understand what it meant. That in 3 days, he would be out of prison and back serving the Pharaoh. And the cupbearer loved that. It was a great, promise that he had that, he's going to be taken care of and things are going to be fine. And then Joseph asked him this question. This is found in chapter 40, verses 14 and 15. He says, when all goes well with you, this is Joseph to the cupbearer, when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness and mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I've done nothing to deserve being put in this dungeon. Well, after the baker heard the good response that Joseph had given to the cupbearer, the baker says, well, here's my dream. And he's hoping he's going to get a good explanation of his dream, okay? And so the baker tells him his dream, and unfortunately, Joseph has to tell him, well, this is what your dream means. In 3 days, you'll be dead. He did not get the answer he wanted. How many times have you gotten answers to things that you didn't want to hear? The baker got that big time. In 3 days, Pharaoh's going to take your life. Well, after all this stuff happens, you get to the end of chapter 40, and that's where we get this verse. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. So you end chapter 40 with Joseph in prison, still being forgotten by those that he'd asked to remember him, whom he's helped. He'd done something for him and was hoping to get something good back. But that didn't happen. And so he's stuck in prison. You know, I don't understand why certain things happen to certain people along the way. You know, just in a congregation like we have, you know, why do certain things happen to folks that just don't have explanation? You know, there's not good answers or reasons for it. And, you know, you think about Joseph and, you know, why all these things happened to him, we don't exactly know. But here's what we do know, that God doesn't abandon us when we're going through those things, okay? God doesn't abandon us when we are going through the dark valleys of life. God continues to be with us. And that's one of the things we discover in the life of Joseph, that even though we don't understand things, even though we can't explain the whys, we do know that God is with us. And one of the things that I've been thinking about when it comes to all this, and I just jotted the note down to myself, I'm learning that in this life with the Lord, that God can use any experience of life to be able to help me to become more the person he wants me to be. Amen. Think about that. God can use any experience of our lives, and he can use that no matter how bad it might be, but he can use that to help us become the kind of people he wants us to be. We just have to be given over to him. We just have to be surrendered to his purposes for our lives. And so here's Joseph. He's disappointed. He's stuck in this prison. And the good news is that it doesn't seem to make him bitter. He doesn't seem to become an angry person that just lashes out at everyone. But the Lord continues to be with him, and he continues to find favor with those that he serves. But in the meantime, he just simply has to wait. And I appreciated one of the songs that Pastor Kayla and the team led us in today about that sometimes we just wait for God to work. Warren Wiersbe writes these words. He says, when it comes to building character, God is never in a hurry. When God is building the character of our lives, he's not in a hurry. And if you don't hear anything else today, just realize that. We all get in a hurry. We all want things to happen now. But God's developing us through all the circumstances of life. As we're surrendered to him, then he can do his work to help make us into the people he wants us to be. God's not in a hurry. Reading the book of Genesis, we ought to know that, right? As we've been working through these stories, the story of Abraham and Sarah, it took years. For Joseph, it's taking years. Paul writes these words in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. He says, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that our suffering produces perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Or in other translations, hope does not disappoint us. We won't be disappointed with what God produces if we'll stay yielded to him. So we hang in there, even when we don't understand, even when it's hard. Well, once the cupbearer got back to his position with the Pharaoh, life went back to normal for him, and he forgot all about Joseph. But Genesis 41 opens with these words. When 2 full years had passed. So, okay, he's forgotten him for a while, right? 2 full years have now passed. But after those 2 years, something happens. Pharaoh has a dream. And it's a dream that reaches the point of just disturbing him deeply. It was kind of a weird dream. Any of you ever have weird dreams? That's all that do? I mean, I had some last night. I don't even remember what they were. That's the thing with dreams. I usually don't remember them. But at the moment, it's like, this is just strange. I do have one dream that I had when I was a little kid. And I had it repeatedly, and I think it was just because of something that I'd experienced somehow in our area. But I kept having this dream as a kid that I was having to run away from a tornado. And it was like you're going forever and ever, and you can't get away from it. And I do know that one of the things that happened when I was a kid, one of my best friends, his dad was an insurance agent, and he had to go out to a place that had been hit by a tornado, and I was with them and saw a lot of the devastation, and I think that somehow that got into my mind to where when I'd have these dreams, I was afraid of a tornado. And so that one was those repeating ones that just, you know, scared me as a kid. But we have weird dreams sometimes. And how about this one for a weird dream? 7 fat cows get eaten by 7 very sick wean cows. Anybody ever had that dream? I only know one person that had that. Those are never the kinds of dreams I have. Or what about this? 7 really, you know, gaunt and almost non-existent grains of wheat eat up 7 very healthy grains. Weird dreams, right? Well, it says that when Pharaoh woke up from his dreams, in chapter 41, verse 8, it says his mind was troubled. It was really, really bothering him. And so being the king, he called in his wise guys. You know, he called in all the people that seemed to know things. And he says, what does this mean? Help me understand what all this is about. And they all came in, and none of them could explain what had happened. And it's at that time, as the cupbearers seeing all this happening, hearing all that's taking place, that he says, you know what? I seem to remember that there was a guy back when I was in prison who helped me explain my dream. Maybe he can help you, Pharaoh. And all of a sudden, Joseph is remembered. All of a sudden, you go back and get your son from church. All of a sudden, there's a call at the service desk. You're missing your boy. We have him. But all of a sudden, Joseph is remembered. It is good to be remembered. And it says that Joseph comes in, and Joseph makes it very, very clear to the Pharaoh that, first of all, he says, I am not the one that interprets dreams. God does. He makes it clear from the beginning that this isn't because he's special and he just knows how to do this stuff. He makes it clear that this is something from God, that God's the interpreter of dreams. God's the one that would reveal any meaning. And so all the glory would go to God. And he makes that clear from the beginning. And so Pharaoh tells him what his dreams were, and Joseph helps him to understand. And he says it's simply this. They both mean the same thing. We here in Egypt, we're going to have 7 great years of abundance. the crops, the herds, everything. It's going to be great. 7 years. But it's going to be followed by 7 years of famine. It's going to be followed by years where there's not going to be anything like that. And we will be in trouble. And so he suggests to the Pharaoh that there in verse 33, he says, you know what you probably need to do is find some discerning and wise men who can help figure out a plan. You know, God's given you this dream. Here's what it means. You might want to find some guys that will help you figure out a good plan to deal with it. And it doesn't take Pharaoh long to think, you know what? I've already talked to those wise guys. I've already talked to all those magicians. I've talked to all the people that are supposed to know. And he says, you know what? None of them knew this, but you did, Joseph. I think you should be the one. And amazingly, Joseph, who, you know, discarded by his brothers, taken to Egypt against his will, all of a sudden has this huge responsibility for the whole nation of Egypt. Isn't it fascinating how God works? You see, and one of the points in Joseph's life is the fact that this is years in the making. This didn't happen immediately. Nobody knew at the time how things were going to work out. Joseph didn't know how it was going to work out. Joseph hadn't had a plan for success somehow in his life. All he really knew was that God was with him, and he kept just taking whatever the next step was that he needed to take. And you know, for us, I think that so much of life amounts to that. We don't know all that's ahead. Not a one here knows what tomorrow brings, but the next week, the next month, the next years. We trust ourselves to God. My guess is that our missionary, Brenda, didn't know all the places she would experience when she said, Lord, I'm willing to follow you wherever you want to take me. I feel that's call to missions. Where do you want to take me? That yes took her to parts of the world she maybe didn't know where they were on the map initially. God has a wonderful way about him when we say yes. Sitting right next to Francis, also one of our missionaries to Brazil for many, many years. Again, the yes to God, you never know what's going to be involved with that, but it's always good. It's like Pastor Kayla said about holiness. I mean, it's an adventure to follow God and to be in his will. And that's where Joseph was. Even though he found himself in places and in situations he did not want to be in, God used every single one of those as a means to form his character and to shape him into the person God would be able to use even more, even now in a position of leadership. He knew God was with him, and that's what mattered most. And I just want to say to you here this morning, whatever you may be dealing with, whatever the challenges are that you're going through, if you're given over completely to God, God will be with you through it, and he'll help you through it, and he'll be faithful to you through it. He will bring you through because he is good and he is loving and he is so kind. Well, there may be some of you here this morning that feel like in your own life you feel a little bit forgotten. You may feel like, you know what? I don't know if anybody cares. I don't even know if God cares. Can I just assure you today, there's no one who cares more for you than God does. I was reminded of the scripture in Isaiah 49. It says Zion, but it's referenced really to the people of Israel and the people of Jerusalem at the time in Isaiah 49. It says, they're saying, the Lord has forsaken us, the Lord has forgotten me. And I don't know if you've ever had moments when you felt like, where's God? Did God forget where I am and who I am and what's going on? But they said, the Lord has forsaken me, the Lord has forgotten me. But then the Lord's response is this: can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child that she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. Hold on to that one. I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. We're engraved on the very palms of the hand of God. God will not forget us. Praise the Lord. Whatever you're dealing with, just know that God's with you. Just know that God has not forgotten you, and He will bring you through whatever it is that you're dealing with. I don't understand the ways of God. The only thing I do know is that I need to continue to trust Him. I just need to continue to believe that God will be with me all the way through. Amen. Well, let's pray together, and then we're going to sing a closing song. And then we're going to need some help with some things, but let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your faithful, loving, caring action toward us all. And Lord, we don't understand life. We don't understand why suffering happens. We don't understand why people, even like Joseph, had to go through what they went through. But Lord, you were with him. You promised that, and you kept your promise. And Lord, you worked even through those negative things that seemed to happen in his life to bring good. And Lord, we're so grateful today for that, for we need that, and we need you. And we pray, Father, today for any in this room who might be dealing with something where they feel like maybe you've forgotten them, that maybe you have just taking your hands off. Lord, today we just ask that you would remind them of how much you love them, how much you care, and that they are not forgotten. May, Lord, we just hold on to that today, knowing that you are good and faithful. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we sing.